freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransom soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless peace, life that shall endless peace. Great is thy faith.
faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
A hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross someday for a crown, and exchange it someday for a crown, and exchange it someday for a crown.
How great thou art. that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great. Joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of my guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. My life is hid
with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God.
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole,
welcome you here in the name of Jesus, who loves us all. My name is Claire Jansen. I'm Herb and Carol's second oldest child. Herbert John Jansen slipped from this life to the next just 13 months after his wife, our mother Carol, and just 7 months after his daughter, our sister Dawn. This last while, on our visits to the care home, we had talked about heaven, wondering what it would be like. He'd asked for some books on near-death experiences, and though he was intrigued to some degree by the stories, he had a healthy skepticism born from years of comparing whatever humans said or wrote with what our loving Heavenly Father had already told us in the Scripture. He was comfortable with the unknown and with the idea that whatever lay ahead, it would be better to the nth degree than anything he'd experienced here in life. I know that if you would ask Herb Jansen, which scripture do you like the best? His answer would be yes. That's because he liked it all. My sister Ruth will read the scriptures as they are in the memorial card. You feel free to follow along.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And that was John 11:25. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And the last one is 2 Corinthians 5:1. "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands."
We pray together. Heavenly Shepherd, thank you for your love for us, which was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to live with us and show us who you really are. We feel the weight of the departure of half of our nuclear family this past year, and we are tired. Tired of tears, tired of losing. Then we remember that you also wept, that you also were tired. And we recall what would happen to tears and to tiredness. You're going to wipe our tears away and give us rest. Mom and Dawn and Dad are smiling and getting all rested up, and we are happy for them. Till we see them again, we'll carry on with your love as an anchor and our friends along for the journey. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share a number of tributes that people have shared with us that reflect who our father was and his impact on the world. The first is from Thomas Yettel, Dad's colleague and partner. He lives in Switzerland. And he shares these thoughts. Some scripture he begins with, Hebrews 13:8. "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." 2 Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And just so you folks know here, there are many, many people overseas watching with us today who don't understand English, and so we've translated much of the service for their benefit, and that's what you see on the screen. A precious and fulfilled life has ended. God has taken home one of his servants of his great army of fighters for the truth. Herb was an evangelist, a missionary, a teacher, a book writer, and a translator of the Bible. His special skill was expounding scripture verse by verse, predominantly the epistles of the New Testament. I remember when I met Herb Jansen in Switzerland for the first time in 1978. He was professor of systematic theology in the Theological Seminary in Basel in the years from 1970 to 1980. There was a conference, and during the breaks, students liked to talk to him about biblical questions. He was surrounded by a bunch of students, and I stood in the back and tried to catch a few words. He was talking to those students about a difficult Bible passage in Romans 9. I was impressed by the way he explained difficult texts. I longed to hear more. 2 years later, I was one of those students at the Theological Seminary in Basel, but I had only one class per week with Professor Jansen. A year later, he left the seminary in order to teach in churches. I was very, very sorry. I met him again in Switzerland, preaching in a church service. At that time, I had a lot of seemingly unsolvable questions about the Bible. I asked him whether he had time for me. A few days later, I visited him. He was around 74 years old. He sat there patiently answering my theological questions. After that, I asked him, "What are your projects? Do you need some help?" He looked at me with big eyes. "Do you want to work for me?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I can't give you any financial support, but if you want to do something for the Lord, I have a lot of work to be done." That day began an almost 26-year-long cooperation. Through the years, he had read a lot of the Greek New Testament and then translated the text directly into German. He had done that for a lot of years because he was not satisfied with the existing German Bible translations. Later, people begged him to publish his private New Testament translations, so he took time and worked on an exact translation. In those years, I had the privilege to help him. And in 2007, the New Testament translation was edited, and 2 years later, the Book of the Psalms followed, and later, the Book of Proverbs. He also wrote 10 small volumes on the Christian doctrine. Some of them were translated into Russian. Some are still waiting to be published by Friedensbote in Germany. Wherever Herb taught God's word, he took notes using small slips of paper. When teaching, he used those notes, talking for hours. Students were curious what was written on those small sheets of paper. So during the break, they looked, and they were astonished when they found out there were only a few words on the notes. The rest he had talked freely, extemporaneously, for hours. Herb was appreciated in many countries, not just in Canada, USA, Switzerland, Holland, Germany, but also in the former Soviet Union, even in the Kingdom of Jordan. When I was in Kazakhstan, in the former Soviet Union, preaching and teaching in several churches and denominations, the believers there first didn't know who I was, and they were somewhat reserved. But when I mentioned that I was a co-worker of Herbert Jansen, the hearts opened and the reserve was gone. He was well known in the former Soviet Union churches. When I was in Siberia, in the Ukraine, and in Moldova, and other places, it was the same. Whenever I mentioned his name and said that I was a co-worker of his, the doors and the hearts opened. What impressed me much was his way of praying and of carefully weighing the words in his prayers and lessons when teaching God's word. All of his life, he was eagerly studying the Bible. He stayed a steadily learning disciple, a pupil of the Word of God. In German, he often said, Fragen Sie immer wieder, wie steht es eigentlich geschrieben? Ask yourself again and again, what actually does the Bible text say? What exactly does the Word of God teach in this and that point of matter? I think he really was a man of prayer. And he was a diligent worker, studying many hours of the day and of the night to better get to know the books of the Bible. Sorry, the book of books. And to be better able to explain it to others. And he was ready to be corrected by the scripture. He was ready to change his view on several teaching matters or Bible passages when he found out that the Word of God didn't really say what he had believed it says. He was ready to listen to his brothers and sisters in the Lord, regardless who it was and how old in the faith the person was. This attitude he had until the end of his life. He was an honorable person, did not make jokes in his sermons, did not use fanciful stories which he had not verified before. He taught in theological seminaries, Bible colleges, and at conferences. But most of all, he liked to speak to the ordinary believers in the churches. He said, "Why should good and thorough teaching be reserved only for students of seminaries and Bible colleges? Any person who has the Holy Spirit is able to think about the precious subjects of the Bible." The subject of dying was often in his mind. When he went on a teaching tour from Canada to Europe, he mailed me a note. "In case we die on this flight, here I mail to you in advance my preparations for the Bible studies which I am going to teach in Europe." I remember him saying, it was about 20 years ago, "It is so important that I prepare everything for the day when the Lord will take me home." Thank you, Thomas, and our condolences to you and the loss of your colleague and partner. I'm going to call on my niece, Herb's granddaughter, Amy Hine, to share some thoughts and memories from the grandchildren.
I am the oldest grandchild of Herb, and today I stand here on behalf of the seven of us. There are four in my family, and two in Uncle Claire's, and Luke with Auntie Ruth. And I just want to share a few memories of the man that we called Grandpa. Here are some words from my sister, Janice. "I remember Grandpa Jansen as a wise, collected, and well-studied man. He loved to sit and visit or go for walks on sunny days. There were times when I would have a biblical question for Mom, and she would respond, 'That would be a great question for when we're with Grandpa.' So I would save it for him. When presented to him, he would quietly ponder my question, sometimes for so long that I wondered if he'd heard me or even understood me. And then we would slowly begin, and he would share his knowledge with me as I was grateful for the wisdom he held, although I usually wished he would dispense of it in a slightly faster pace. My favorite memory of him was from last summer, when I was able to introduce him to my daughter, Emma, who was a mere 7 weeks old. He held her in his lap and recited the German rhyme, Hoppe, hoppe, reite, and smothered her with kisses. He was so gentle, loving, and enamored with the newness of her life. Grandpa aged with grace, revealing more and more of his gentle spirit and love for his family." Here are some thoughts from me. As I thought about Grandpa, I wondered, can you actually write about Grandpa without mentioning Grandma? Where one went, the other was there. Grandma was more lively, and she held the conversation, and Grandpa was always the stoic anchor, smiling with a twinkle in his eye, enjoying the moment, and observing everything that was going on. I'm quite convinced nothing got past him. My kids remember taking them for walks in their wheelchairs around the garden and the ponds just down the road from Glenmore Lodge, pausing to look at the turtles or to enjoy the garden. I have one reoccurring memory from my growing up years of Grandma and Grandpa. Well, maybe it's a reoccurring smell. I can still remember the smell of their luggage when they would arrive at our home on one of their furloughs. Huge suitcases that weighed tons. One full of books, that was Grandpa's, and one with all the medicine and vitamins. I will never forget that smell, like the bulk aisle at the health food store just arrived in my basement. Another memory is of Grandpa's wisdom. I can remember being in early high school, starting to stress about boys and marriage and life beyond home. And I asked my mom one day if she believed that there was only one person in the world for me to marry, because that was a little stressful to imagine that. Her answer was that I should write to Grandpa and ask him what he thought. Oh. I remember arguing with her that we were probably both pretty sure what his answer would be, but I wrote to him anyway. Perhaps it stands out because his answer was not at all what I thought it would be. What I recall is that he told me that there isn't just one person, but that when I get married, then that person becomes the one. Somehow, that settled me and helped me bide the years until Charlie came along. I am thankful that all of my kids had an opportunity to meet their great-grandparents. That is a rare opportunity. Grandma and Grandpa actually got to meet all 12 of their great-grandchildren on our Workington side. And as I think of this, I realize that the thing I'm most grateful for is that both Grandma and Grandpa knew the Lord and passed that on to their children, who passed that on to our generation, who is now passing it on to the next generation living in our homes. My prayer is that they too will carry on this legacy. And I'll close with some thoughts from Josh. Grandpa Jansen always had a special place in my heart. I shared his love for studying the scriptures and was so thrilled when he gave me a few of his English Bible study books while I was still in high school. I still have them and learned so much from them. He also passed on to me a full set of sermons he had done in English on the book of Revelation. I listened to those cassettes for hours. He had wonderful insights on the possible interpretations, and it really grew my love for heaven. Grandpa was very good at asking thoughtful questions, and I have long desired to grow in that capacity. I can remember him sitting silently as he pondered the exact wording he wanted to use, and if I misunderstood, he would circle back at it another way. He loved to engage in spiritual talks with me and always made me feel loved and heard. My girls loved hearing his stories and reading about his time in war. I feel blessed that they got to meet him and know him as much as they did. We will miss him, but we will always treasure the love of Scripture he passed on. A little of who our grandpa was.
Many of you know that our father was quite musical. He sang in a number of choirs and quartets over the years, including standing in as a bass singer for the Jantz Brothers Quartet when Corny Enns was ill. He and my mother produced a number of gospel albums in their early years in Europe. He also composed music and lyrics for a number of songs, notably one for Mother's Day. On a retreat in the mountains with a group of German students, he became familiar with their musical grace before each meal. They would pause and they would sing together, Gesegnete Mahlzeit. Bless this meal. I've often reflected on that encounter and imagined him humming it over in his head. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and saying to himself, that's just not finished. Diese Melodie, dies ist nicht fertig. It must have irritated him enough that he tried to provide the finish to it. Gesegnete Mahlzeit, da 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 da. Eventually, his resolve for musical satisfaction paid off, and this is what he taught us.
Ich hab die Verheißung des ewigen Lebens, denn ich habe Jesus als mein Heiland schon hier. Ich weiß, wo ich hingehe, sollte ich heute noch sterben, eine Heimat im Himmel verspricht Jesus mir.
And because he could,
I now have the promise of life everlasting. My soul is rejoicing like a captive set free. I know where I'm going when my life here is ended. A mansion in heaven he's promised to me.
Now I'm going to read a tribute, right? A tribute to, written by one of Dad's brothers to Herb. In reflection, I must confess that during my early years, I didn't get to know my eldest brother. For one thing, there was a 4-year age gap between the older two and us younger three, so that we tended to live out those years somewhat removed from them. Secondly, we knew our parents had dedicated their firstborn to the Lord, and subconsciously this may have created a mild feeling of detachment in us siblings. In that respect, I may have a small affinity to Jesus' brother's difficulty understanding him during their early years. However, what I clearly do remember is that Herb fully lived out his commitment to God. One could never question his sincerity, even if he wasn't always understood, even if we couldn't always understand his ways. Eternity will reveal how many young people in the Waldheim community, including me, put their faith in Jesus in response to his personal witness. After the age of 16, Herb was seldom home for any extended time, but engaged in biblical studies and in various forms of home missions. God also used Herb's time in the medical, in the Army Medical Corps to expand the training of this kingdom soldier. We knew his heart was in missions, and to no one's surprise, Herb returned to Europe, where he devoted his life to preaching, teaching, and translating scriptures. And now, after a life of faithfulness, our God has beckoned Herb home to enjoy his great eternal reward. The impact of that resolute life is a legacy that will live on in countless lives for the glory of the one he served.
Elizabeth Römer shares some thoughts. She's a childhood friend of ours, daughter of Paul and Elsbeth Schnabel from Großbottwar in Schwabenland. And both of her brothers, Eckhart and Siegfried, were students of my father's at the seminary in Basel. Ellie writes, "Dear Ruth, Claire, and Wes, thank you for letting us know that Herb is in heaven now. What a life this was. How many people he influenced in a positive way and helped them grow in their faith and in their love for God's word. He was instrumental in me reaching assurance of salvation, and our family admired him for his wisdom and his strong faith. As I already wrote you once, the meetings with Den Janssens were always great highlights and are wonderful memories for me until today. Great conversations, lots of laughter, and delicious cakes and other healthy and wonderfully unhealthy food. Now he is united with his wife Carol and his daughter Dawn and the others and sees Jesus face to face. I wish you all great comfort in this wonderful knowledge and in the hope that one day we will all be united there too. Thank you also for the very special photo, the one that was up on the screen earlier. It is Herb as we know him with this special, very characteristic expression on his face, a smile, a question, some mischievous thought, full of joy and love. God bless you all as you say goodbye. Years ago, as a 10-year-old, my father took me on one of his excursions, or it was a retreat in the Alps. I believe it was in Adelboden, Switzerland. And on that retreat, some of the students were Hans and Gerlinde Penner. And I'm sharing his tribute that he sent to us. Zum Abschied von Herbert Janssen. The English is on our screen here. Gerne denken wir an Herbert zurück, die Nürnberger Freie Evangelische Gemeinde, in der wir getauft und getraut wurden, war wohl der erste Arbeitsplatz von Herbert in Deutschland, nachdem sich Herbert und Carol entschlossen hatten, in Deutschland das Evangelium von Jesu zu verkünden. Viele Predigten hier hielt Herbert in unserer Gemeinde und an vielen anderen Orten. Ich entsinne mich an eine Predigt, in der er die Notwendigkeit betonte, die Segnungen des Heiligen Geistes nicht nur für uns selbst abzuspeichern, sondern sie an andere weiterzugeben. Er betete: Herr, lasst uns Kanäle sein und keine Flaschen. Ihm war wohl noch nicht bewusst, dass in der deutschen Umgangssprache Flasche einen unbrauchbaren Menschen bezeichnet. Oft hatte ich Herbert in unserem Erlangen-Kreis der Studentenmission in Deutschland zu Bibelabenden eingeladen. Aus meiner Sicht war das Besondere an Herberts Bibelarbeiten die sorgfältigen Ausarbeitungen und Begründungen. Gerne denke ich auch an eine längere Bergtour mit Herbert auf dem Sentis in der Schweiz. Wir sind traurig über die zeitweilige Trennung, sind aber dankbar für alles, was uns Gott durch ihn geschenkt hat und dafür, dass es ihm jetzt sehr gut geht. And then he adds a few thoughts. Zu meinem Nachruf auf Herbert hätte ich gerne noch ein paar Sätze hinzugefügt. Erich Regier, ein Vetter meines Vaters, wanderte in der 1920er Jahre aus nach seiner Heimat Westpreußen nach Kanada aus. Er wurde Weizenfarmer in Saskatchewan und wohnte in Waldheim, wo meines Wissens auch Herbert wohnte. Seine Frau und er bekamen 3 Kinder, Richard, Herbert und Waltraud. Herbert Janssen, my father, konnte Richard Regier zu Jesus führen. Richard und seine Frau Ruth wurden Missionare in Rhodesien, später Zimbabwe, und arbeiteten dort im Segen Gottes einige Jahrzehnte. I'll share some of my own thoughts with you. When I moved my family to Kelowna in 1998, I reconnected with old friends, one of whom was Harv Dick, whose parents, Dr. Dick and his wife Helen, had been youth leaders in the 1970s. I asked Harv if his dad was still practicing medicine, and he responded, "No, he finally got it," meaning he retired. And that is illustrative of how I've come to terms with Herbert Janssen, my father. You know him as Herbert Janssen, the missionary, the professor, the Bible teacher. You experienced him as a student of the Word, as a divider of the truth, as a gifted lecturer, an amazing listener, and a careful crafter of sentences which conveyed precisely what he wished to say. He was a master of numerous languages. You knew him as a student of the Bible and one who drove to be faithful to its original intent. In your many tributes, you have even called him a great man. Some of you have also shared that he became a significant father figure to you. To be sure, Herb was one of my favorite Bible teachers too. He would start a sermon by taking off his watch and placing it on the podium in front of him. Once I asked my mother what that meant, and she replied, "Absolutely nothing, Claire, absolutely nothing." My siblings and I knew him as father, and in the scale of measures with which children weigh their parents, he was found wanting. You see, while Herbert Jansen was in your church, in your home, blessing you and your families with his teaching and his presence, he was not in our home. While you had him, we missed him. And when he was home, he was either preoccupied or he could be, how should I say, harsh. The story is told of two young boys who were at their father's funeral, and the minister was going on and on about this wonderful man. One boy turned to the other and asked, "Are we at the right funeral?" But we should never be surprised to find that this dichotomy exists in a human being, that for all one's efforts in one direction, something gets dropped in another. That a man can be a talented mechanic or a physician and not a good husband. That a man can be a gifted teacher and convey to people that God loves them, and at the same time make it very difficult for his own children to apprehend that same truth. All four of us struggled with this aspect of our dad's character. But I'll speak for myself today. For years, I was angry and carried my disappointment with me. Periodically, I'd dump it on him, question him why he wouldn't open his heart to us and help us with how we felt toward him, take the time to understand how we'd been impacted by his absence through his ministry and his exactitude. But the door was closed. In fact, it remained closed until he died. But now, he's finally got it. And I'm glad that the stories of David are recorded in the Bible and that we are told that God called him a man after his own heart. Despite his being an adulterer and a murderer, God still called him a man after his own heart. It tells us, firstly, that we are all capable of gross evil. And secondly, that if we humble ourselves, we can be forgiven. Herbert Jansen was a man after God's own heart, as am I. Herb Jansen was an imperfect father, as am I. What I've come to understand is that though I am a good father, my heart must be open to the fact that I will wound my children in a variety of ways, and that despite my very best efforts at parenting them, my children will have every right to sit in a psychologist's office and point a finger at me. I must be open to hearing how I've wounded them and be prepared to change. Forgiving my father, despite his unwillingness to engage with me, freed me to be kind to him, to provide for him, to engage with him and care for him as he became increasingly dependent on others. My disappointment did not have to control me. It couldn't prevent me from being for him what he really needed. I'm very glad for all the wonderful memories that you have shared, how my father impacted your life for good, helped you to understand the scriptures and our Heavenly Father better. I'm thankful for his significant impact on your life, especially that he fathered you. I have many fond memories of my dad, how he would tell a joke and then laugh until the tears would stream down his face. He could really whistle, and he taught my brother and me how to whistle. On road trips, the three of us would whistle in three-part harmony. I had I can hear it now. We were really quite good. When we were young and living in Baden-Baden in Germany, we had a hamster who outlived its species' life expectancy by about 18 months. When little Hänsele died, that's German for Hansel, as in Hansel and Gretel, Dad saw our sadness. He organized a funeral to bury the little rodent. He told us to secure a shoebox, told Wesley to get some green Tinker Toy sticks, they're about that long, and me to get some toilet paper. We stuck the Tinker Toy sticks through the box, wrapped the tiny creature in the tissue, replaced the lid, and with four teary pallbearers, we took our pet to the backyard where Dad had dug a hole and written its name on a wooden ice cream stick. With thick voices, we all sang, "For he's a jolly good fellow." He took care of our sad hearts, and I love him for it. I have never suffered from anxiety about finances, never worried about how I'll make it from day to day. When my own family, struggled financially through economic downturns, I did what I needed to provide, and I asked God to help us, but I never spent a minute in worry. As I reflect on that, it's because of my father's modeling of complete trust in someone bigger than him, someone who owned the cattle on 1,000 hills and would care and provide for us. He used to tell us, "God will always provide for you. And if he doesn't, and you die, then he has still provided for you." Isn't that amazing? Mom and Don are already with our newly changed and arrived husband and father, Herb. Israel and Ruth, our turn will come. What that reunion will be staggers my imagination. But I know that it will be sweet because Jesus will make it so. Porter Wagner sings a song that my father loved. He requested it at my mother's service in December of 2020, and we played it also at my sister's funeral July last year. It's called "I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone."
When I come to the river at the ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. When the billows of sorrow and trouble will sweep, Christ the Savior will care for his own. There'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone.
It's Siegfried and Christiana Buchholz with our family in front of, I believe it's his old Borgward, a German car. And Siegfried shares these thoughts.
Als wir die Nachricht erhielten, dass Herbert Janssen gestorben ist, nach lange vor den Vollendung seines 100. Lebensjahr, da gingen die Gedanken meiner Frau und meine Gedanken zurück ins Jahr 1957, als Christiane und ich gerade den Herrn Jesus Christus als Retter kennengelernt hatten und wir uns entschieden hatten, ihm zu nachfolgen. Kurz nach dieser Entscheidung begegneten wir Herbert und Carol. Sie waren die ersten Menschen, die uns halfen, diesen neuen Lebensweg zu gehen. Ihre Hilfe bestand nicht nur darin, dass sie uns erklärten, worum es bei diesem neuen Abenteuer geht, sondern was uns sehr geholfen hat, war, wie Herbert und Carol ihren Glauben lebten. Wir erinnern uns noch gut an ein sehr überzeugendes Beispiel seines Glaubens. Herbert erhielt Einladungen aus ganz Deutschland, um zu unterrichten oder Seminaren zu leiten. Und es geschah immer wieder, dass Herbert eine Einladung bekam, aber es fehlte das Geld, die Reise zu bezahlen. Doch Herbert begann, alles für die Reise zusammenzupacken. Christiane und ich waren sehr überrascht, als wir diese Art von Glauben sahen. Und noch mehr beeindruckt waren wir, als das nötige Geld eintraf, kurz bevor Herbert das Haus verließ. Kurz nachdem Christiane und ich unsere Entscheidung für Christus getroffen hatten, erlebten wir praktisches Christenleben mit. So wurde unser neuer Glauben von Anfang an stabil. Danke an Herbert für dieses neue, sehr, sehr kostbare Beispiel lebendigen Glaubens. Im Himmel bist du einer von Gottes sehr fruchtbaren Dienern. Christiane und ich freuen uns schon auf ein Wiedersehen mit dir, Herbert, im Himmel. Unser Beileid gilt Herberts und Karls Kindern, die wir in Nürnberg kennengelernt haben, denen, die noch leben. Siegfried und Christiane Buchholz, Baden, Österreich. And I'll just tag on a memory of that very same faith. My father was the field director for the mission agency that he represented. This must have been about 63, 64. We lived on Lessingstrasse number 9. And Dad wanted to visit the missionaries in Italy, those who were working there. And he thought that a vacation was due, and so we were going to pack up for a 3-week vacation in Italy, and he would spend some of that time visiting the people there. But we had been praying for the needed money to leave and go and spend 3 weeks in a campground. And we knew as kids that it wasn't there. We lived day to day, paycheck to paycheck, which we didn't even have, just depending on gifts from others, and we didn't have it. But I remember the distinct feeling of not worrying. And here's what I wanted to tell you is that my brother and I were taking suitcases
out to the car, putting the suitcases in the car, packing the tent and the sleeping bags and the pumps and the food into the car, and we still had no money for the trip. And I remember a German couple coming up the street, up the hill, and seeing two little boys packing a car, stopped and talked to us. And we told them very excitedly, "We're going to Italy, but we have no money." That was about, I think, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The mail came in the afternoon to our house. And that afternoon, twice as much money as we needed for that trip arrived in the mail. Can you imagine what that would do to a young child? It did. It did all of that. Taught us to trust. Thanks, Dad. My father was a medic in the Second World War. If you read the obituary, you'll know that he was wounded there as the German army was retreating and the Allies were advancing, particularly the Canadians through Holland. That was their mission in the town of Groningen. Some of the German soldiers got trapped behind the enemy lines, and they would hole up in homes and get up on as high as they could, and they would snipe. And Dad was standing in the doorway of one home, and a call came for a medic. A soldier was down across the street. He grabbed his stretcher and he booked it across the street, and a sniper got him through the arm, ended his career. Both bones were broken, and he could no longer do his job. He recuperated in the home of a Dutch family and fell in love with them. And after the war, married, and with my older brother in tow, they went back to Holland, and that's where I was born. And their career began in Europe. So I've always been very thankful that my father was willing to stand for freedom, that he left home and was prepared to sacrifice his life, which he nearly did. And to honor him today, and to honor that service, are the members of the Royal Canadian Legion, Branch 26, from here in Kelowna, with the last post ceremony. And Frank, if you'd come and lead us in that, appreciate that. Thank you for being here, for your own preparedness, your own service. We appreciate it.
Would the members of the family please remain seated, and everyone else who is able, please stand. We assemble today to solemnly remember and to pay our respects to the life of our departed comrade, Herb Jansen, whose death we mourn, but whose spirit still lives. May we, as citizens and members of the Royal Canadian Legion, be charged anew with the full sense of our duties and responsibilities to our country and to our organization. May we ever strive to uphold the principles of unselfish service, which led us to serve our God and our country in time of war and in peace, so that we may continue to serve even unto death. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
Please be seated while the Legion pays their final respects to Herb. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, grant, we beseech you, to the friends and loved ones of our departed comrade Herb, your comfort and protection. Amen.
Whether you're here in person or online with us in spirit, thank you for coming to be with us today. We're grateful for your love, for your respect for our parents, for your kind thoughts and actions towards us. We have two more parts to our honoring of Herb's life, and that is a reception here in the family room. You're all invited to stay with us for a bite to eat, and unfortunately we can't do mingling. We have to treat the reception hall as we would a restaurant, and we'll go in, we'll be seated, and then file past and receive our food and be seated at the table. They're asking us not to wander around without masks and mingle, but please stay, and we'd love to have you. And then after that, then our family will head out to the cemetery for a burial. Thank you so much for being here today. I've known some of you for probably up to 20, 23, 25 years, and it's good to see you and have you here for my dad as well. It means a lot to me. Again, thank you for being here. Allow me just to talk to our Heavenly Father and thank him for his watch care over us. Father, we're grateful that we can call you Father. You are a good Father. You love us completely. And we've honored a good man, a man after your own heart today. Thank you for Herb Jansen, for his legacy. Thank you for the ways that he impacted our world for the good. We give him back to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we commit ourselves to being family without him, without Mom, without Dawn, without the little ones who've gone on before. Thank you for the refreshments ahead of us and the chance to get together in this way. Thank you for your mercy. Amen. The flowers here on the casket are just in honor of Dad. The four white ones represent my mother and my sister Dawn, my niece Highlight Rose, and my great niece Audrey, who have gone on to heaven before us. Would you please stand, and we'll allow the Legion members to form an honor guard as we make our way across to the reception hall.
There.